Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, we have Sheriff Mark Kreider. Now, he's in Ohio, but he is the sheriff in Walla Walla County, Washington State. So, and he may be wishing he was there right now, because from what I understand, the weather in Ohio is just not pristine. Come on, it's raining and stuff over there in Ohio. So that probably has something to do with Jeff Winninger living there. But
good to see rain every once in a while.
Well, I guess that's a good point. We also have retired major and doctor Travis Yates from the Tulsa Police Department. So thanks for being back on the show. We appreciate it. Gentlemen, a shout out to our sponsors. We have Gauls at Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com. And, you know, Gauls is our title sponsor. Compliant Technologies, they're our satellite sponsor. We've been on satellite radio since May 5th and haven't looked back. It's been great. GunLearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And thanks to them and thanks to Travis here, we're reaching about 1.5 million people right now on stream for the live show. So thanks to Safeguard Recruiting. Also, TwoBells.com, the built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com, and a new one, FishOrlandoBass.com, Bass the Fish, charters and stuff. It is that's our newest sponsor. And let me tell you, if you're going to Orlando, you're going to go to the Disney, and you don't want to maybe go hug Mickey with the wife and the kids, and you want to do a little charter bass fishing trip. Or maybe you really are brave and you want to go hunt some alligators. And when I say hunt, it's like catch and release. They're not killing the little baby alligators, but they've got it going on at fishorlandobass.com. So check that out. You do have options if you're going to Disney with the wife and kids or even the grandkids. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com and lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make this show happen. And now, what in the world are we talking about today? We got some interesting stories. You know, the first one, we have a off-duty Lakeland police officer arrested on a false report. And he didn't get far. He went over to Polk County, which, of course, Sheriff Grady Judd's over there. And then we have North Texas police officer. He's dragged from his own patrol car when the suspect tries to drive off. Interesting how that happens. The suspect does an interesting maneuver to get inside this cop's car. And then we got a Kingsburg officer facing no. I hate the way they write these things, but I seriously think they tried to jam this cop up with a grand jury. Kingsburg officer faces no charges when a ski mask and everything, and they're throwing this case before a grand jury. Maybe someone can explain it to me. Then we got suspended North Andover officer who was shot by police during a domestic incident, issues a statement. There's some drama with that one. That's a female officer. We've got a Fort Lauderdale police. They released body cam of an officer fatally shooting the suspect that's armed with an airsoft gun. We got another guy fatally shot by Antioch police officers. He's charging at them with a knife, though. And then Orange County in Florida, where I'm at, deputies fatally shoot a guy that's armed with a knife. So we got a couple of knife stories. So if you guys are ready, let's go ahead and do the first update story, if that's okay. Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Off-duty Lakeland police officer arrested for false report. So Lakeland is in Florida, and I'm in Tampa. So it's just, it's just about 30 minutes, you know, east of where I'm at. It's near where the Boss Hog radio station's at. And it says veteran detective charged after allegedly falsifying account of a vehicle damage. Why cops lie? And I know the sheriff and I were talking the other day. There's really not a lot you can do to ruin a gig as a police officer, you know, as a deputy, sheriff, or whatever, but lying will do the trick, right? So Lakeland, Florida, an off-duty Lakeland police officer, he's 42 years old, so he's, wouldn't classify him as a young guy. So I don't know how, I don't, well, a 12-year veteran, so he'd been on there since he was 30 years old, arrested on July the 19th by the Polk County Sheriff's Office. And so that's a different agency, but that's where Grady Judd works out, the sheriff. And he was arrested for filing a false report of a crime. So 12-year veteran assigned to the property crimes unit. That's my first flag. He's a 12-year veteran, and he's a detective, and he's assigned the property crimes unit. But anyhow, allegedly fabricated a story about his agency issued vehicle being damaged by juveniles. So the investigation starts when Detective Hayes contacts the Polk County Sheriff's Office. He claims that three unknown juveniles threw an object at his unmarked Chevy SUV in Lakeland, and they shattered the back window. Now, it goes on to say that the detective tells the deputies, remember, different agency, that he attempted to pursue the fleeing youths that had done the damage. And in doing so, he ran over a small sign, caused damage to the front of the vehicle. He stated that he called a supervisor who told him to call the sheriff's office. Detective Hayes reported the incident occurred approximately 30 minutes before he called, after he had driven home. However, and Polk County did a jam-up job on the investigation. The investigators uncovered a photo of Detective Hayes' SUV that was taken 24 hours prior to his report, and it clearly showed the back window was already broken. And when they confronted him about this, he said that, well, he changed his story. He admitted that he believed his child had broken the window with a baseball bat and said he panicked and he didn't know what to do, and he was unable to explain the other damage to the car that was in the front. So Detective Hayes was taken into custody, charged with false report of a crime, which is a first-degree misdemeanor. He was booked into the Polk County Jail, later released after posting a $1,000 bond. Lakeland Police Department Chief Sammy Taylor issued a statement following the arrest of his detective. And here's what he said. On the evening of July 19, 2025, the Lakeland Police Department was notified by the Polk County Sheriff's Office about the arrest of Detective Michael Hayes. Chief Taylor is talking. He says, immediately after being notified of the arrest, I ordered an administrative investigation, placed Detective Hayes on administrative leave in accordance with our agency's policies, procedures. And it goes on to say the Sheriff's Office has our full cooperation as they proceed with their criminal investigation. So the chief is fully backing up the sheriff in doing this. And here we go yet again. A first-degree misdemeanor is going to cost this guy, a 12-year cop detective. It took me 12 years to get promoted to detective. It's going to cost him everything. Wow. Any commentary on this, gentleman, sheriff?
Yeah, I can always, you know, we had a saying in the Bureau, there are three things that'll get you in trouble. The three B's, booze, broads, and bucars. And, you know, it's a simple thing. I don't know what happened, but The county is going to pay for it, or the city is going to pay for it anyway. All you got to do is fess up and say, hey, it was parked in front of my yard, you know, in front of my house. The kids were playing baseball, broke the window, no big deal. But once you contrive a story, you're just going down a rabbit hole that you can never recover from. And it's stupid. It's over a, you know, $500 windshield. You're going to lose your entire career over that. It's just moronic. The only thing I will say is, as an administrator, I have a guy that in a neighboring jurisdiction that basically did the same thing, ran a police car into a pole as he was pulling out of the garage, and then didn't fess up to it, and said, when confronted, said no, he didn't know anything about it, and it was in the police garage. There's a camera there, dude. It's not like they're going to not find out. I mean, they're inquisitive. So, you know, lied about it and got fired, but got reinstated by the state of Washington, who is sides with the employee more than they do the employer in these kind of matters.
Out of curiosity, did that go to arbitration or did it, yes. It did go civil service arbitration? Okay, yep. Interesting.
Yeah. So the other question I kind of had was, do they have flock cameras in the state of Florida? Do you know?
Not sure.
Okay, because I was just wondering if they had used the flock cameras to look at his vehicle as it was driving around town, and that's where they got the info from.
Yeah, not sure. Mr. Yates.
Yeah, I'm just confused because I'm a big fan of CNN and Attorney Ben Crump, and they keep telling me how the police lie for each other and this silent blue line, and we cover all this stuff up and there's no accountability in law enforcement. I don't know whether I need to reassess where I'm getting my news or my information or even my favorite attorney, but it just sounds like that this is what we do. I mean, we hear these stories every week where in other professions, this is a blip on the radar, but in law enforcement, it makes the news, it makes headlines, and we fire people for something, as the sheriff said, is pretty moronic, pretty stupid, but it is serious in our profession, and we should be doing that. We should be holding people accountable, but it just seems very strange to me that the narrative that is out there predominantly among all over the place, it's the exact opposite, right? These people that want to spread this narrative couldn't last a week in this profession if they're held accountable for what they do.
Yeah, thank you.
I would just add in, Chip, it's kind of equated to, if you're having a extramarital affair, don't do it at a public venue.
Like at a baseball game?
Yeah, say a baseball game or a concert. where they have a kiss cam. Well,
I am offering a seminar. It's an online seminar where if it does occur, it just don't dive into the bleachers and act crazy. Just act normal.
Normal. Yeah, we've seen a little bit of that going on lately. Wow. All right. Well, good coverage. Yeah, no one hates a bad cop worse than a good cop. But and look, we've all probably in our careers been in situations where, unfortunately, something like this has happened and we've had to do something about it. I certainly have. And it's not the fun part of the job. But nope, like I said, no one hates bad cops worse than good cops. And it helps, you know, we can, you know what, the system, this is a perfect example of how the system for the most part works. I wouldn't say it's perfect, but for the most part, it works. We had this bad guy identified through something that was just benign. It was just, it was not connected to normal police work, but it showed what he was willing to do. And he's just not the guy for the job he needed to get, and the right thing happened. So, I fully support the sheriff, Grady Judd, and the chief. In fact, I love the account the chief gave, and he's going to fully cooperate with the investigation, the criminal investigation. Gets one of his own guys. That's the way it has to be done, and totally above board. I absolutely love it. So, well, guys, if you're up for it, we've got another story with a video component, but I've only got about 15 seconds before we take our first commercial break. So let's do this. I'm going to whet the appetite for the first story that's got a video component. North Texas police officer dragged from his own patrol car when the suspect tries to drive off.
Jump out. Help me. Over here, dude.
I know the sheriff's thinking, thank God it wasn't a deputy, so it's cops. But hey, we're going to cover that in just 1 second. We'll be like that. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we deal with gear, and we have to buy gear, and we have a lot of different choices. And then that's not even considering online. When you throw the online mix into it, your choices are almost limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of actually supporting the companies that support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. I mean, even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens, and I mean dozens, of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. They pretty much have everything but guns and ammo at Gauls.com. And I tell you personally, I love the boots and I love their go bags. They've got They've got more options and more choices than you could even imagine. And they have gift cards. You know, we give away a couple gift cards every week on the show. And actually, I think we're going to be giving away one today. So go to Gaulis.com, hook up your family, Gaulis.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show, joined by Sheriff Mark Kreider from Walla Walla County in Washington State. And we've got Major Travis Yates. He also goes by Dr. Travis Yates. He's with TravisYates.org, retired Tulsa police major. So thanks, guys, for being on the show. We left off where I just kind of whet the appetite for the next story. It does have a video component, and this story is being taken from Rumble.com, and it's on our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. North Texas police officer dragged from his own patrol car when the suspect tries to drive off. So we're in Seagoville, Texas. And this guy's arrested after allegedly leading officers on a chase in a stolen pickup truck. And then when he tries to drive off in the police vehicle, he drags the officer who's outside the car and he injures the officer. Now, Seagoville police, they start this chase. It's a stolen Chevy pickup truck and it had been reported stolen already. And this is going on just before 7 o'clock p.m. on July the 27th. So the driver of the pickup truck or suspect is Brandon Booth. He's 36 years old, and he gets on Interstate I-20 driving the wrong way, and the initial officer stops the chase. But then another officer picks it up on an I-20 service road, and so we're watching dash cam, and we can see the stolen pickup truck driving down a grassy median off the service road. And so our patrol car gives chase to the grassy median, and the pickup truck, the stolen one, it ends up crashing into another vehicle at a low speed. No one got injured. And then the driver ends up, you know, bailing out. So our cop that's in the car with the dash cam that we're watching, he comes up behind the car. The guy bails out. So our cop bails out of his cruiser. And now we move the body cam. And as our cop bails out, you can see the bad guy. He jumps out of the crash pickup truck. You see him like running over the hood of like a looks like maybe a, I guess the crash car. So our cop gets out and he goes around to the right to chase the guy. Our bad guy doubles back. And where's he go? He goes to the police car with the unlocked door and he gets in it. And so the cop realizes what's happening. And there's some expletives, I think, going on. And he gets right when he gets to the car and the bad guy gets it, the bad guy closes the door. But the bad guy doesn't have time to lock the door in time. So the cop was able to get the door open. And now he's in the cockpit of his own, of his cruiser, fighting with the bad guy who's behind the wheel. And so, yeah, sure enough, the bad guy rolls the car forward, crashes into the stolen pickup truck. Then he puts it in reverse and jams it. And he's dragging the cop backwards through this grassy median area. And the cop was able to get the car to stop. But then the bad guy puts it in drive again and he crashes back into the stolen pickup truck. And that's the way it goes on. So this goes on for actually a couple minutes before they get this guy under control. The cop ends up getting the guy out of the cruiser, and there's a taser malfunction. But then we got another cop that shows up, and he's got a taser, and they end up getting this guy under control, and they end up arresting him. It looks like they're charging this guy with two of the charges: robbery, and he had a warrant for a parole violation. So it goes to show that you really never know, who you're stopping. I think they knew in advance that this vehicle was stolen, and whether the robbery had to deal with a stolen vehicle or not, that's how he took it. Whether it was a forced incident or not, I don't know. But he was wanted also for parole violation. Bonafide bad guy, did not want to go back to jail. Any commentary on this, Travis? You want to start us off on this?
I'm remaining confused today. I apologize, Chip, because once again, my friend Ben Crump keeps telling me how cops just shoot people at random. And they're just out here murdering people. And when you watch this video, you would have to have zero brain cells to not believe this officer's life was in danger for many minutes, right? And he never used deadly force. He put his life at extreme risk as he's hanging on to this car and rolling around, hitting other cars. And he does threaten that he was going to use deadly force, but he actually never does. And this is the norm in law enforcement, as we all know. There's many, many times when it could be used and it's not used. So once again, I can't believe CNN's lying to us. But anyway, there's a couple things that defy the laws of human behavior here. First off, how can this guy run so fast around cars with his pants hanging down to his knees? Very talented guy. This is a nude video because his pants are down the entire time. It's just a style, I suppose, but it's like the hidden ball trick, right? Pretty impressive. You get out to chase the guy and he runs around the car and he runs and he doubles back and he gets in the police car. which creates, of course, the extreme danger that I've previously mentioned. And the officer, you know, just by instinct, jumps in the car, obviously trying to get him to keep from taking his car. It's every officer's nightmare. If it happens to you, it happens once, and it will never happen again. That's guaranteed. But all is well. We get him into custody. No one's hurt. We got very, very fortunate. I think if I was to say anything from a critique standpoint, I don't want officers to put their lives at risk when they don't have to. If you have to use the force appropriate, use the force appropriate. And we can deal with our my friend Ben after the fact.
All right. I love it. I love it. It's going to happen. We're going to have cars taken and cruisers taken anyhow. That's something we're not going to be able to get away from. But I got to admit that during the fight, I was waiting for, I don't know what else the cop had in there. I don't know if he had a shotgun. And it really doesn't matter because this guy's in like a police SUV that's a 4,000 pound, you know, deadly weapon. I think the cop would have been completely justified. In fact, I know that he would have been, at least in my jurisdiction, with using deadly force if he was in fear of his life or even great bodily harm. You don't have to be in fear of dying, right? I was waiting for the gun to come out and up close and personal shot to the noggin of the bad guy, which didn't happen. But and I don't know why. Maybe the officer couldn't get access to the gun. I don't know. But it was killing me watching this happen and watching the two accidents that happened and then him being drugged backwards through that grassy median, probably holding on for dear life because knowing that if he would have let go, likelihood of that heavy vehicle running over him was probably pretty great at the same time. So Sheriff Mark Kreider, you've got about 15 seconds here.
Yeah, I know my guys carry an extra fob on their vest so that when they exit the vehicle, slam the door, they can lock the door remotely with it still running with keys in it. I don't know if that police agency does that, but I was also thinking that every cop should have a kill switch for their vehicle.
All right, guys, 10 seconds. Here we go. We'll be right back. We got a commercial break. All right, guys, you know, today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety, and it's about safeguarding those in the front lines from what we call hidden threats. Now, MyTech, which is the division of Compliant Technologies, this is where they step in. MyTech provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. Their Eagle Protect nitrile gloves, they offer 4-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. And in addition to that, their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers, they eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact, and they continue the kill for up to 28 days, helping you stay protected both on and off duty. So when safety is non-negotiable, you can trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. You're going to learn more about how they equip your team today by simply going to compliantechnologies.com/MyTech. Again, that is compliantechnologies.com/MyTech, because the best defense starts with the right protection. All right, guys, now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at bluethegold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to bluethegold.com. They translate search and seizure documents into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to bluethegold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up next week, CIs and search warrants. You don't want to miss that. That's on August the 6th. You can sign up at bluethegold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game because, frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. Bluethegold.com. Again, bluethegold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. I'm Chip the Block, your host. We're joined by Sheriff Mark Kreider from Walla Walla County in Washington State and Dr. Travis Yates, retired major from the Tulsa Police Department. Thank you guys so much for being on the show. And we had a great conversation during the commercial break. I'm trying to remember where we left off. I know that we had a use of force where we had the chase with a stolen pickup truck, and our cop bails out. Bad guy circles around and gets back to the cruiser before the cop can, and they end up having a fight in the cockpit. And eventually, after two crashes and after being drugged backwards, the cop is able to extract the bad guy out of his own cruiser. And they're able to go 10-15 with them. And the guy had a warrant. And of course, he was charged with robbery, probably in association with the stolen vehicle. So anyhow, that's the way that ended. Any more commentary on that? Are you guys ready to go on to the next one? You ready? All right, we're ready to go. So our next story, which also has a video component, Rumble.com, this is Butters, the name of the channel. So a Kingsburg officer faces no charges when he fatally shot a chainsaw-wielding man inside the home. Yeah.
Yeah.
Roger. Don't do it. Take this. Take this. Take her down. Stay on the ground. Stay on the ground. Don't move.
Repeat, last unit.
EMS shot fired by the police.
The police.
Don't move. You guys good?
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
Everyone safe?
Hey, we're safe up here.
Four, repeat.
So I know what you're thinking automatically. You're thinking that's probably in Florida, right? Well, yeah, you're wrong. You would be wrong on that one. It's New Jersey. Okay. So not everybody in Florida is crazy. There are some other crazy people in the country, and New Jersey apparently is holding some over there. So in Keensburg, New Jersey, the way they write this is really, I'm going to read it just like it says, a state grand jury has decided not to file criminal charges against a Keensburg police officer involved in the fatal shooting of a man who confronted officers with a running chainsaw. All right. Yeah, that makes absolutely no sense to me. So the ruling follows an investigation into the death of a 46-year-old Willem Roman, who died after an encounter with a Keensburg police officer on May the 27th, 2024. So this happened a year ago. And I do know that some jurisdictions will routinely take things before a grand jury. It has nothing to do with the with any PC or anything that happened. But this article is intentionally written the other way to imply that there was something wrong with the shooting. There's no other explanation. So the ruling follows this investigation. The authorities said that the officers were dispatched to Roman's home for, they're doing a welfare check. And there is some interesting dialogue before the welfare check goes on. There is a citizen that comes up to the cops, and I can't quite make out what he's telling the cops. It could be that the guy had a chainsaw, but I know at one point the officer says, well, do you think us going in there is going to like tick this guy off? And they go in anyhow. So I'm just bringing that up. Not that it doesn't mean that they weren't warranted to go in there and check on the guy, but that conversation did happen. So after limited responses from behind a closed door, Roman ends up emerging wearing a ski mask, and he approaches the officers with a running chainsaw. You actually hear this thing start up. And that's like the first flag, because there's an officer that's a lot closer to the door the bad guy came out of. And I think that officer had a taser, and you hear him relocate. You see him relocate pretty quickly when that chainsaw starts up. And so this guy comes out. He's got the chainsaw. The video doesn't, you know, you got to really kind of hunt for the good spots in the video where you can actually see the guy in the chainsaw and stuff. But they deploy a taser and they fire a weapon, and they end up hitting the bad guy. And they end up, one of the officers wearing the body cam, you see him bend down, and he actually picks up this running chainsaw, and it takes him a while to get this thing to shut down. And the bad guy's laying on the ground after being shot and tased. And he also had a crossbow, multiple knives on him. And he ended up dying in the hospital on June the 14th, you know, afterwards. So again, this happened at the end of May, May 27th, and he died over two weeks later on June the 14th. So he was alive for a while. The Office of Public Integrity and Accountability, OPIA, they presented evidence, including body cam footage, 911 calls, interviews, and autopsy results to the grand jury. And they voted a no bill, concluding the charges were not warranted in this particular case. Wow. Major Travis Yates?
You want to talk about why recruiting is an issue in law enforcement. If you kill Freddy Krueger, it shouldn't take a year to clear that officer. And this is also why I advocate that if you're going to use your chainsaw inside the house, make sure it's electric, because fumes from the gasoline chainsaw is going to make you nauseous. This does not sound like an electric chainsaw. I personally keep my chainsaw outside, but to each their own.
Well, that is a good point. I hadn't even thought about that, but you were so right.
Of course you haven't thought about that. That's why you had me on the show, Chip.
Sheriff Kreider.
Dr. Yates is extremely correct. Had this been in California, that officer might have been injured, because that would have been an electric chainsaw, because they banned gas-powered engines, and he wouldn't have heard it. I watched it several times. I still could not figure out where they actually shot him. I saw the taser. And I'm not sure that it wasn't the same officer that tased him and shot him.
Huh.
And the only thing I can say about that is, you know, as much as we preach tactics, 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 sometimes the environment dictates. That place was kind of a maze of a hoarder's dreamland. And so there just wasn't a lot of room to maneuver in there. So it was difficult to, you know, I don't know. Do we increase the 21-foot rule from a knife to a chainsaw, or do we reduce it because he's less maneuverable? I'm not sure how that goes. Dr. Yates, can you weigh in on that?
I can't get past chainsaw in a house. I don't know if the 21-foot rule applies, but, you know, I don't know if that was a motel, but it was pretty gnarly, whatever it was.
Yeah, it just I know there's going to be naysayers out there saying, you know, welfare check, you know, what do you think is going to happen when you hear the chainsaw? Why don't you guys bail out? Let it, you know, I know that there's all kinds of people that are going to have a different position on this one.
Well, let me interrupt you there, Chip, because you're right. Everyone's going to have a different position, but everyone wasn't there. And as we all know, and we all cite here, the case law that dictates use of force prohibits you from thinking about this after the fact of what you would have done. You have to put yourself in the position of the officers at the time that the threat presented itself. And so, you know, I keep going back to the first video we talked about, this video. How damaging is it that the leaders across our country, whether it's mayors or attorneys or activists or even police chiefs, are not coming out routinely telling the public, hey, if you act this way, you could get dead. Like, it's not safe for you to act this way, because we're seeing people are getting, you know, we're using deadly force. And I think people are made to believe that, well, unless I point a gun at a police officer, that is not the case. That's not what case law says. That's not what sound tactics says. It's not what best practices say. And I think that we would do ourselves better justice if we started teaching people, even though we do deal with people that can't be taught. But I think routinely, I think people don't believe they can get killed by police by just being stupid like this when they put people's lives in danger. And I think when, instead of blaming the cops for everything, we're seeing this incident now that you're seeing all over the news where this kid just would not follow any instructions whatsoever with officers there. And, oh, we used intermediate force on him and we're losing our mind, right? And Ben Crump's on TV every day. Even though he's my friend, I disagree with him on this one. I think we would do justice by explaining to the public routinely, even from the law enforcement standpoint. I don't see a lot of police leaders doing it either. Hey, you can't do this. Our officers don't know what's going on. They're putting themselves at risk because of the unknown. Just comply with the officer. And if you have an argument or a debate, that can be done later. And I don't think that's being talked about enough. And I think people are being killed by law enforcement, unfortunately, because in their mind, they're listening to this rhetoric on my favorite channel like CNN, and they're thinking, I can do whatever I want. No, you can't. This isn't a schoolroom with school teachers. You cannot put your life at risk and other people's life at risk and the officer's life at risk and just simply walk away. It's very dangerous to do. And people will go, oh, Travis says comply or die. No, I'm saying if you don't comply, it makes things riskier. It makes things more dangerous. So why put yourself in a place that makes things more dangerous?
The other thing, I'll jump in with Dr. Yates, because I'm not a big CNN fan either. But if you listen to the way that this whole thing is worded, it says he was acquitted of any wrongdoing at a grand jury. Well, in a typical use of force, we do an investigation. There's an investigation done to determine whether or not that use of force was justified. At the end of that use of force investigation, it is 100% routine to put it before either the prosecuting attorney or a grand jury to determine whether or not, based on the findings of that investigation, whether that deadly force or that use of force was warranted. So to imply that this went before the grand jury for anything other than a routine, you know, process is disingenuous and is trying to purport that, hey, once again, a cop shot a guy and got away with it. No, that's not what happened there. I'm sure there was an in-depth investigation. His use of force was justified, and the grand jury came back and reinforced his use of force was justified.
And, you know, in my experience, a lot of times the state attorney's office or the district attorney's office will actually aid in the investigation. They're going to be out there on scene, called out there, you know, as well. And in the mental health component, there are people that say, well, you know, this shouldn't happen to someone on a mental health call. And, you know, we respond to actions. You know, to us, we're not diagnosing people on mental health issues, nor should we. But I know there's people that are going to be the naysayers on that. But let them confront a guy with a running chainsaw who's got a mental issue and see if they handle it any differently. They won't be alive to tell the story afterwards. We're about 15 seconds out from taking our next commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys. You know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day. But it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and even disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending the live seminar at GunLearn.com. And you can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and attorney Ken Afianko. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you have your own agency, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to GunLearn.com to get more information. And again, that website, it is GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. I'm Chip DeBlock, your host, joined by Sheriff Mark Kreider and Dr. Travis Yates. And guys, I think that we've exhausted the whole chainsaw thing, unless you guys want to add anything more on that. You know, Travis, I know that you travel the country talking about the greatest police leader, and you've also got a book that encapsulates everything that you talk about in your seminars. How can people get more information on you and what you do and your book?
Well, the easiest way is go to travisyates.org. Everything branches off from there. If anybody is near Huntsville, Alabama, I will be there next month. They'll get a book in that class. And if you want discounted rate, contact me through the website. Tell me you heard it on the radio show, and we'll get you in that class. We have a few seats left.
Wow. You got to look now. If they want an autographed copy of that book, is that something that you can accommodate, or how do you work that out?
Yeah, I writing's hard for me, so I've got to go real slow, but I could probably make it happen.
All right. I love it. I love it.
All do right. You auto pen those, or do you actually?
No. That's good.
That's why he's a sheriff, wow. Yeah, but I'm not. All wow. Right. That's sharp right there.
Wow. See, I'm not even brave enough to say that on my own show. So, wow. So that was good. TravisYates.org. All right. So guys, we've got about 8.5 minutes, and let's go to our next story here. We got a video component on this one. Fort Lauderdale police released body cam of an officer fatally shooting a suspect that's armed with an airsoft gun.
The officer involved shooting occurred during this first 30 seconds.
Put your hands up! Put your hands up! Grab.
I got it.
Put your hands behind your back! Put your hands behind your back! Put your hands behind your back!
As Sergeant Thomas exits his vehicle, so does the driver of the Mercedes. The suspect retrieves what appears to be a firearm from his waistband. At this time, Sergeant Thomas discharges his department-issued firearm, striking the suspect multiple times. Let's watch the moments immediately following the shooting from another officer's perspective. Here's that video again in slow motion. You will see the firearm in the suspect's hand.
Of course, we don't always know that these things are airsofts in advance. So Fort Lauderdale, Florida, new police body cam shows the moment a Fort Lauderdale police officer fatally shoots a guy. And this is an encounter that happened back in January. So in this footage, it shows a January 19th shooting of a 23-year-old named Chad Mabray Jr. And Sergeant Trevor Thomas is the guy that shot him. Fort Lauderdale police said that Thomas had attempted a traffic stop on a Mercedes that was driven by a bad guy. And he, of course, refuses to stop, and he flees at a high rate of speed. Minutes later at a gas station, Mabray gets out of the Mercedes, and he pulled what appeared to be a gun from his waistband as he's trying to flee. And this goes down pretty quickly at this point. The video shows Sergeant Thomas open fire. He hits our bad guy multiple times, arguably in the back area, and our bad guy later dies at a local hospital. Now, they said that they determined that it was an airsoft replica firearm, and they said it didn't have any, you know, color markings on it or other indicators in it. And I don't even know why they put that in there, because it doesn't really matter. I mean, if we weren't shooting bad guys that had guns painted orange, every bad guy that had a real gun would be painted, you know, freaking orange so that they wouldn't get shot by the cops. And just going back on my notes here, I noticed that about this all goes, it starts getting good about 2 minutes and 7 seconds into the video. And that's where you got the pursuit from the attempted traffic stop. And it comes to an end, and the suspect bails from the Mercedes, and he grabs the firearm from his waistband as he's running. And really just 4 seconds later, at 2 minutes and 11 seconds, shots are fired and the suspect goes down and he ends up dying. And the audio activates immediately afterwards. And they even have a slow motion version of this. And you really, there's a lot that can be lost when you're watching things in real time. I know that all of us like to watch the videos in real time first, just to kind of see what we're able to pick up on. But when you go back in slow motion, wow, all the things that you have missed, it's pretty impressive. And so commentary and FLG, man, thank you so much for the comment and for supporting the show. But Sher Kreider.
Yeah, unfortunately, the body cameras with the view that you get from that lens, because it's kind of a fisheye view, you don't get the detail that the officer on the scene has when he sees it. He immediately recognized that firearm coming out of the waistband, right in the right hand. You know, unfortunately, unfortunately, he has to use his firearm. Good outcome, he's not injured. There is no way in real time that you are going to discern whether or not that is a real gun or a BB gun or a toy gun with the realism of those airsoft guns. Just not going to happen. So for anybody to second guess him after they have time to stoop down, pick that up and examine it, is just not realistic.
Thank you, Sher. Appreciate it. And we have a late post on, on the stream about the call involving Todd Irving and the chainsaw call. And so we still can't get away from the chainsaw calls, but on this last one here, that's interesting. You know, if you're a cop watching things, like you said, Sheriff, in real time, how the more calls, the more action you see, it kind of slows it down in your mind. You're able to pick up things that maybe the average person wouldn't be able to do, things you just are so aware of things. And when it's you, and especially the more you've had, the more you've been exposed to, the more ability you seem to have to slow things down and to pick out the fine details of what's going down. I know that you were SWAT with the FBI, correct, Sheriff, before, any insight onto the stuff that you guys got exposed to in shooting situations and deadly force situations, from your experience on SWAT?
Not so much on SWAT per se, but you do have a tendency, especially when you carry a gun. You know, for the bulk of my career, I carried a gun concealed. FBI agents don't walk around with their guns exposed, except nowadays on YouTube. But you get a sense, and I know you guys were the same way as a detective coming up, even as a patrol officer, you recognize cues. Of a guy carrying a gun, the way he walks, the way his pants hang, a bulge under his shirt, where he carries that gun. I mean, I see more, I remember I flew armed all the time. So at the airport, I could spot a cop a mile away. You know, if you're beyond security and you're carrying a knife, don't have it clipped to the outside of your pocket. It gives it away. You can't get through security with a knife unless you're a cop. Well, now everybody in the airport knows you're a cop and you probably have a gun on top of a knife that you're carrying that everybody can see. And, those cues, good officers pick up early. That officer did a good job of recognizing that threat and he addressed the threat immediately. It's unfortunate that somebody got shot, but as Dr. Yates expressed earlier, when you do stupid things, bad things are going to happen to you.
You're absolutely right. And those FBI agents on video that like to do that on YouTube, they're probably in Tulsa area is what I'm thinking. So,
well, listen, you everyone seen the video of the FBI agent on the airplane that wouldn't show the stewardess his ID because he made this big deal about it. And because he was an FBI, I'm like, if you just show him your ID, this wouldn't even be on YouTube. Now everybody knows you're an FBI agent. I don't understand this whole secrecy thing. Right. And you're right. The issue with the open carry, which a lot of states have now, which I tell people is if you're open carrying, you're the first one getting shot at, right?
Right. Absolutely. So
concealed carry is a much more appropriate if you really believe in self-defense. I agree with the sheriff on that.
Just in full disclosure, the guy on the airplane that was supposedly undercover, I worked undercover. Number one, I never carried a badge when I worked undercover. Number two, he's on an airplane. There's paperwork that's involved in carrying on an airplane. And number three, that wasn't an FBI badge. So he was not an FBI agent. Don't believe everything you see on the internet.
I'm sorry. I watched it on CNN. I apologize. I trust it.
As much as I like to bash on the FBI, that guy was not an agent.
Hey, if you need backup, I'll call Ben Crump right now for you, Travis. Oh,
and, he was a moron for sure, but he was not an FBI agent.
Yeah. Good point. We can't always believe everything we hear or we see, especially on YouTube. And I am no fan of YouTube whatsoever.
He was Space Force. He had to be Space Force.
Oh, you know, I didn't think about that. You're probably right. I know they got, if you're a air marshal equivalent on Space Force, what do you call that position? What do you think that is? What's a good name for I'm about to come up with a good one. You know, you guys ready to give away the free $50 Gold's gift card giveaway? You ready to make that announcement? So we got a few seconds left here. Andrea Wall, congratulations. You now have, or you're going to have at the end of the show, a $50 Gold's gift card. It's a digital card. I'll be able to email that to you after the show. I have your email address. So thanks for remembering to put the email address in. So congratulations, Andrea Wall. Going to get that to you shortly. So, So it's going to be a great weekend for Andrea or someone special that she has that's able to get that. So, guys, we have about 20 seconds before I'm going to start, you know, winding it down. Any words of wisdom to to the people that are on the show for 10 seconds? Or Travis, if you want to see Travis Yates, travisyates.org. He's coming somewhere to a famous location soon, I believe.
Just thanks for supporting the show. We appreciate having this platform.
Guys, I ditto to that. So thank you so much, Sheriff Mark Kreider, for being on the show. Also, Dr. Travis Yates. And I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org, Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. And guys, I support the Wounded Blue and also the National Police Association. And it's because these organizations aren't going to embarrass me. And they're really doing some fantastic work. And Randy's got a summit coming up at thewoundedblue.org. If you guys are interested in going to the summit or taking your wives to the summit, and that I believe is in September is the timeline for that. I think I got that correct, Travis. Go to thewoundedblue.org to get all that information. Again, that is thewoundedblue.org. And I want to mention our sponsors again. Please support our sponsors, guys. Gauls.com, ComplyTechnologies.com, Gunler.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.live, and also Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. Two Bells have built a new online store. FishOrlandoBass.com for the charter fishing. LeoRoundtable.com.